Radio Yorkshire, your home of rugby league. You know it makes sense.
Ten to five, it's Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire Extra Time. Results then confirmed from the Championship. Batley 24, Halifax 6, great performance from the Bulldogs this afternoon. Bradford 14, Rochdale Hornets 22, Dewsbury 6, Swinton 8, the Lions scoring pretty much on the buzzer to take the victory there. Featherstone 8, Oldham 6, and London Broncos 22, Hull Kingston Rovers 28. So some interesting scorelines this afternoon and over the weekend. Let's head back to Bellevue, the Beaumont Legal Stadium, and look over that. And, of course, our commentary game this afternoon, Wakefield 8, Hull FC 12. Gary Schofield is still there. Gary, I guess the first thoughts on that game we've just seen. Hull FC just had the better game plan for the conditions, it sounded like, in that first half, and just went on to take the game narrowly in the second.
Yeah, well, in the end as well, Rich, to be honest, I think just a little bit too much quality and all, but overall for the conditions, for the 80 minutes, the both teams adapted to these conditions very, very well, and I say, but Wakefield, in nearly, just literally, you know, with 15 seconds to go, could have won it with Scott Griggs, but Talanoa just coming from the other side of the field to cover there and to get the kick through to making sure that Griggs couldn't get it there. But Hull FC, certainly when they brought the big boys back on into the second half, certainly Gareth Ellis for the last 25 minutes. Mark Snead, as I've mentioned many, many times before, doesn't do a great lot with ball in hand from a creative point of view, but boy, oh boy, can he create when he puts that kick on there. Jake Connon, the first to react, and overall, just with that little bit more quality and experience for the Black and Whites, deserve to win by 4 points.
I've been, you've been pulled up on Facebook today. This is not about, you know, saying players are unfit this time. This is a different one. Johnny is fed up of you saying players are dumb. You claim to not like saying so, but then you do. But I guess that's been, you know, part of the key reason as to why, as much as you say, obviously, Hull, the better team on paper and on the pitch today, a couple of silly penalties has helped them in their cause today as well.
I'm going to stick up for Scoy here, Rich, and he says it the way it is, and you've got to say it's like, if you're a parent and you scold your child off for doing a naughty thing, and he does it again and he does it again and he does it again, and he's not learning from it, you'd say he's not very intelligent. And Wakefield give the same penalty away 5 times today, Scott?
Correct.
6 times today. So that's what it is. If you don't learn from your mistakes,
it's dumb.
You're dumb. So the proof's in the pudding.
I'm just here to give you the opportunity, you see, to put these people right.
Well, Richard, you know what? At the end of the day, as I keep saying, I don't like using that word because I don't like you know, you might say insulting people. But as Craig Murdoch has explained there, if you keep doing it time after time after time after time, what sort of expression can you call it? It's as simple as that.
And you both know, as ex-players, you know when you've made a mistake and you've cost your team a chance, haven't you?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, if you don't know that you've you cost a mistake, well, there you go, then you are dumb, aren't you?
And
Simple as that.
And seriously, no, Rich, it doesn't really matter what me and Scully say. If you're making the mistakes, you've got to go in that dressing room and face up the rest of your teammates when you know you've made a stupid mistake. That's the worst of it. Doesn't care. They don't really care what we say. It's what your rest of your peers say when you sat there and you're looking around and you're saying, sorry fellas, I give away that penalty, that cost us that opportunity.
I'll tell you what as well, Rich, here, the big talking point here is going to be the referee not giving the high shot before around about 8 minutes ago. It was a good field position as well for Wakefield, and he missed a high shot with the Wakefield player himself, had to go off, and then a bit of frustration from Craig Hubie. He gave the penalty away, and I say the Black and Whites have in that set of six, they scored the final try there, but I can bet your bottom dollar here, Chris Chester, they'll be pinpointing that out, that that may have cost Wakefield the game.
Well, it sounded like in commentary you barely mentioned the referee, so it sounded like he had a decent game.
I thought he did, and as I mentioned in commentary to Craig Murdoch, you know, I felt overall that he refereed very, very well. He had to give the penalties because quite simply the players just wasn't rolling away there from the acting half area, and for mine, Craig, I thought he refereed okay.
Yeah, you know, let's move on, you know, we don't want to really talk about the refs. As you said, if he's not involved, he's had a decent game. So yeah, there's, look, there's always going to be a decision that the fans aren't going to like from both sides, but overall I thought he was pretty consistent in that. For me, if you're consistent, that's all you can ask.
7,000 there this evening, great attendance from both sets of supporters, and I'm sure Mr. Carter will be very happy to see Hull coming back later in the season in the Super 8s if both finish in the top 8, of course. But the way Wakefield played today, what would you say to those who perhaps didn't make it from the Wakefield area this afternoon?
Well, look, I think, you know, he's trying his best to put a team on the pitch along with his coaching staff and head coach Chris Chester that are going to be entertaining. Now, you know, these conditions today aren't what Wakefield are going to be best at. You know, they're not the biggest. You know, Kermond and Ashurst in the back row and CO, they're really good footballers. But, you know, this was about size and physicality today. But Wakefield, you know, in defeat, they've given everything they had. And when the ground firms up, they're going to be a decent side. They're going to be good to watch because they're going to throw the ball around. And if you're not here today, you know, when the sun shines and it gets a bit warmer, get down because you'll see some good rugby league here.
And a couple of halfbacks on the show for the first time for their clubs. Albert Kelly, it sounded like you mentioned in commentary an interesting point that he wasn't able to do much with the ball in hand today, but I don't think many people would. But defensively, which is not necessarily an element of his game we talk about a lot, he certainly stood up and was counted.
Oh yeah, very solid. And I say the Wakefield attackers, they came down his side quite a little bit as well on the black and white's right side. So yeah, defensively very, very solid. These conditions, though, none of the halfbacks realistically, you know, as you'd expect, created a hell of a lot from there. But he will certainly reach it when it gets dry, when the sun's out. He would be a big asset for the black and whites.
It sounds like Sam Williams as well is another player who's going to be much better in drier conditions as well.
Yeah, I think he controlled the game pretty much for Wakefield. He certainly was at the heart of everything they did. They know that, you know, he's going to get them round the field. And with Jacob Miller again, we didn't see a lot of Jacob Miller today, but it takes a lot of pressure off Miller for Miller to have that running game. As I said, it's not a game for halfbacks today, it's about the big guys. And for me, that was the difference in the game, Rich, that across the board Hull were just a little bit bigger. And in these conditions, when you've got Talanoa and Fanua driving the ball from the wings, and then on the back of that you've got Scott Taylor, Liam Watts, Gareth Ellis, Sika Manu, and that physicality was the difference between the two sides. But as I said, for me, I don't think Chris Chester's disappointed, but he's certainly got a lot of positives he can take from the game as well, Rich.
If we look at the results in the championship, obviously you've seen none of these games, neither have I, but Hull KR, perfect start to the season. The victory last week over Bradford, now going to London and winning 28-22. I think Tim Sheens could have asked for a better start.
Oh, absolutely. And as I say, it's early in the season, but one thing for sure you want to get off to a great start, and that's exactly what they're doing. And two testing games for them last week. Rich, as we all know, Idington offered against Bradford. They were expected to win by many, many points. They did that. And I say today was a test for them down at London. Everybody's expected big trips from London. So to go down there, get the 2 points, yeah, Tim Sheens will be absolutely delighted.
And it's a top of the table clash next week because they travel to Rochdale Hornets, who are still 2 from 2. They're top of the table on points difference. And they, of course, beat the Bradford Bulls this afternoon. And we said, you know, all through pre-season after the reformation of the club, that was going to be a tricky game because Rochdale came into that one. We saw the comments from their coach saying, you know, they've got ex-NRL players, they've got, you know, NRL coach or whatever he's doing at the moment, or and this, that and the other. You know, they're still a big club, and Rochdale have gone there and are ground out to win this afternoon. They're continuing their great form from the end of last season in League One.
Yep, they are indeed. And I say one thing for sure, what Rochdale seem to have that great team spirit, and they've got that character in them, haven't they? And what great motivation. And who would have thought it? You know, years ago, that Rochdale would be going to the Bradford Bulls, as we all know, Super League champions, a World Club Challenge champions, and Rochdale go there for the first time for many, many years. Well, donkey's years, I guess, Rich, to be honest with you. Plenty of confidence and turned them over. Well done to Rochdale.
Dewsbury Rams, of course, Rochdale beat last week, just beaten this afternoon. 8-6 by Swinton Lions. It sounds like, again, the conditions not great there, but Swinton and other side are grinding out the win.
Well, no doubt, Richie, I'll be ripping into that sort of mind again. I can reassure you that he was telling me they was going to get themselves the first win on the board today. So, hey, listen, let's take nothing away from Swinton. Also, too, as we mentioned with Rochdale, they've come up and certainly from Rochdale's point of view have, you know, got in there now and they've done the hard work. Because I tell you what, Rich, as I said last week, looking at some Rovers, in this championship, if you don't bring your A game week in and week out, you're going to get turned over. They certainly really is no easy games in the Championship.
And they were only narrowly beaten by London last week, so it shows how well they started the season as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And also, too, John Duffy, he's doing a great job there. And, he's another coach who likes to play in the same way. You know, he likes to play, you know, with Benevict's expansion and play without visiting awareness and let the players play what they see. So he's doing a great job at Swinton.
Dewsbury have got the trip to Toulouse next week. Of course, at this moment, we don't know how Toulouse will have done against the Sheffield Eagles, but a nice trip to the south of France for Dewsbury to try and get their first win of the season. But that's going to be tough because, as we know, Toulouse at home, they're a very different proposition than they are away from.
They are indeed, and the Sheffield coaching staff, or the Toulouse coaches, are sticking all the cones out here now, so there's nowhere near the crowd here, Richard, to be honest with you. I think there's about 26 people at this moment in time who are here, but no, it won't be easy. Won't be easy for Dewsbury going to Toulouse. It's a fortress what they make it there, and Dewsbury, well, they couldn't have wished for a worse start, could they? And I'd say it'll be a long, long, hard face for my son, and it won't be a happy playing journey when he sets off there on Friday. And I can reassure you, because people this week, Richie, have been a little bit harsh on me, saying I was a little bit tough on Jonathan. I don't think so. He was giving me plenty of stick, and at this moment in time, that laptop of his, that coaching laptop, it's quite slippery, Rich. It's not working.
I should say, while I remember, I was on the Rugby League forums this week having a look at what people were saying, and I can't remember what the debate started off, but it ended up being an appraisal of Gary Schofield's playing career, you'll be pleased to know. This was on the Wakefield forum.
Right.
And people were sticking up for you. They said, actually, you were quite good, you'll be pleased to know. And
they were comparing you with,
I know, one of your great old friends, Dave Topless, and I thought, if there's any man who'd be happy with that comparison, it would be you.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. The great man himself, and I said many, many times, you know, he was like a second father to me, and I say not just on the field, but off the field as well. And, to be, you know, for the respect that Wakefield fans have put him in the bracket of the great man himself, yeah, I'm pretty happy about that one, Rich.
Yeah, I thought you would be, even though you come out second in that competition.
Oh, well, I would imagine, yeah. I would imagine I would have done, but you know what, mate? It's like we say on this radio station, it's all about true honesty and honest opinions. It's as simple as that.
I thought you'd enjoy that. Next Sunday, we're at the Foxes Biscuit Stadium, Mount Pleasant, to you and I, and a clash between two teams who finished in the top four last season. Feddersen, 2-2, Batley with the win this afternoon, a big win as well. I think we should touch on that first. 24-6 over Halifax, and not been the best start of the year to Halifax. Obviously, you had that tough game last week against Fev, but to go to Batley and, you know, in these conditions, that's a bit of a hammer.
Oh, it is indeed, and I say that it's. And I would imagine Disco as well, the Batley coach would have been looking for a reaction after what happened over in Toulouse as well, and he's got one, you know, because Halifax, before the start of the season, everybody was saying maybe in the top four again. It wasn't the best of the season last year, but yeah, finished in the top four. But Disco himself's got a reaction from his players, good victory from there, and I'm very much looking forward to going to the old man pleasure, they say. I know it's the Fox's Biscuits, but very much looking forward to that one, Batley Featherstone. That should be an absolute belter.
I think we'll be hoping for some free biscuits, so I don't know about anything else. And Featherstone, that's 2 weeks in a row. They've ground out results. Obviously, it was tough for them at Halifax in the first week, and 8-6 over Oldham. But again, the conditions playing a part there. But I'm sure John Sharp will be very pleased with those points on the board.
Absolutely. And I said at times, a little coaches will say a win's a win. Delighted, 100% start. And I say both teams, we'd be ready, playing with plenty of confidence come next weekend. I tell you, Rich, I can't wait for that one.
So I'm looking at the Super League table. After one round, which is completely pointless. And Castleford are atop of it, 44-16 winners over Lee on Friday night. I was at the Mendenhose Jungle, and the first 20 minutes were a bit of an arm wrestle, no points on the board. Grant Millington comes on, a couple of changes for the Castleford Tigers, and I imagine that 11 other clubs in Super League would love to be able to bring Millington off the bench. I know it's a tactical thing, he's not like they didn't start with him on Friday, but what a player he is, what a team Castleford are. We say it all the time, they're a joy to watch, and perhaps they switched off in that second half against Lee, but a professional performance from the Tigers.
Oh yeah, without a doubt, and as you mentioned, Grant Millington, and I say, to be honest with you, when they put a front rower in the standoff position last year, I was going bananas, Richie, front rower, but playing as number six. But I tell you what, he's certainly got the skills of a halfback, hasn't he? But he likes it tough as well. He does the hard yards when required, but when you're looking for that, just that little bit more skill and a little bit more from the front rower, Grant Millington could come up with the answers, and he fits the Castleford mould very, very well, doesn't he? Because the coach himself, he lets the players play what they see. If they want to express themselves, they're allowed to do that, and that's why he's getting the best out of his players, and that's why the players like playing for Darryl Parley. It's as simple as that. And as I mentioned before the kick-off here today, the way Castleford are playing, certainly on Friday night, they were very smart. Yes, Lee did rip him for the first 20 minutes or so, but after that, Castleford, their quality, their smartness, great balance side. And I say at the end, they're a pleasure to watch. It's as simple as that.
24 points from Luke Gale, two of them tries. He was superb again. Paul McShane at hooker, just moved them around the field superbly. And, you know, we talk about last year, we talk about 40 tries from Denny Solomona down that left-hand side. But Greg Minikin got a couple down the right again. He's continuing the form he had last year. And Greg Egan on debut got a try down the left-hand side as well. So although they'll miss some of the tries he was able to score last year, he's not going to be as big a miss as people have made out, is he?
No way, man. And I tell you what, Rich, the way Castleford play, I tell you what, they can stick me, you, or even Mark Wilson on the wing, and he might get over for a few tries as well, to be honest with you. That's the way that Castleford play, and they make it nice and easy for the wingers to get there, diving over from there. But, yeah, they're a pleasure to watch, and Wolfie for sure, they won't miss Denny Solomona. No way, man.
No, they won't. They've got a week off next week, because, of course, there's only two games in Super League next weekend. One of them involves Leeds, who, of course, started with defeat at St Helens. Very close game, and you know, without Matty Smith, that's a big win for St Helens.
Big win, absolute big win. And you know, I certainly felt as though that Leeds would win without Matty Smith there, because they seem to put all the legs in one basket with that kid there, but he's out for a while. But yes, good spirited performance from St Helens. And Leeds, well, and again, you know, it's the question is going to be about him. You know, is that creativity point of view? And, you know, people have said to me, well, you know, if Jordan Lillard had been playing there, could he have made a difference for that? Just maybe that one pass that could have got Leeds over the line. But we'll be for sure here. St Helens will be absolutely delighted with that victory to get it there. Without the main man, and they're going to be without him for what? Maybe 2 months, but for Leeds, an interesting one. It's going to be very interesting for them on Friday night, going to Lee after what happened to them. They'll be looking for a reaction after the huge defeat at Castleford. Very, very interesting for Leeds on Friday night.
I guess the good thing for Lee is they did get points towards the end. Yes, perhaps when the game had gone, but Ryan Hampshire, former Castleford man, of course, on loan last year, has got a try. Danny Tickle is 100th, and Matty Dawson as well, and they're going to ask Leeds lots of questions. And let's face it, there's going to be a great atmosphere at the Leeds Sports Village on Friday night.
Oh, these indeed, and I say the way that Lee want to play as well. Yeah, they'll ask plenty of questions of the Leeds defence. But I must say, Rich, I've got a comment about Ryan Hampshire's celebration when he scored that try. Boy, oh boy, 36 points down, he scores a try as though he's won the game. Come on, son, you know, get into the real world. And I just felt at times as well, Lee, just a little bit like their old self, weren't they? A bit of indiscipline. They felt as though they could bully Castleford, and a bit of pushing and shoving here, and very, very indisciplined at times. But one thing for sure here now, if Lee think they can go about that in Super League week in and week out, I'm afraid to say they're in the big league now. They're in with the big boys, and the big boys will not be bullied. So pretty much of a harsh lesson for Lee on Friday night, and certainly some individuals, and one of them is Ryan Hampshire.
Well, no, he's a Wakefield fan, isn't he? So that's probably why he enjoyed scoring against Castleman. But you're right, the game had gone at that point, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. Absolute, without a doubt. And that I say, I was absolutely laughing at him. I said, listen, Ryan, please. No, leave it alone, son. Leave it alone.
Also on Friday, we talk about big results, and it seems ridiculous to talk about this early in the season, but for Huddersfield to go to Widnes and win fairly comfortably, that's a big boost for Rick Stone and his side.
Oh, absolutely. And and I say, we're all saying about Widnes, but let's take nothing away here from Huddersfield. It was a test for them, big 4 points, because everybody's expecting these two sides to be in the bottom four. But yeah, listening to Rick Stone certainly before the game, he was happy with that performance. And I'll tell you what as well, I'm happy for Gaskell, because I like Gaskell. He doesn't seem to have found his position there. Maybe fullback could be his position, because certainly the way that the fullback role plays now, they play like a second standoff. So if he could chime into that line playing with Danny Brough there with the creativity point of view, he could be a huge asset for Huddersfield. But no, that was a big performance from Huddersfield, got the 2 points from there, and they'll be looking with plenty of confidence against Salford on Thursday night.
We need to tell Phil Seymour to be quiet, he's a bit too loud there. They take on Salford then, who lost to Wigan, and It sounds like Wigan just got their season off to a perfect start. And of course, a great warm-up for them ahead of the game against Cronulla next Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Just what Sean Wade would have wanted. And I say they were cruising, won at half-time, 26-0. OK, they didn't score in the second half, but I guess the game was won and maybe took the foot off the gas, knowing exactly what was going to be happening 8 days later with the World Club Challenge against Cronulla. But good hit out for Wigan. Sean would be delighted. Salford, I guess questions are still going to be asking about them, about that consistency. You know, can they play at this level week in and week out? Can they play for the full 80 minutes? Well, I'll tell you what, it's a big test. That is a big test for them at Huddersfield on Thursday night.
I've never been to Cronulla. Will Wigan be hoping the weather stays the same as it is at the moment for next Sunday's game?
I'll tell you what, I've been to Cronulla plenty of times. It's absolutely beautiful. So them lads, I'm led to believe, have arrived in England sometime today. So this is a big wake-up call. But hey, listen, the Aussies know at this time of year what the weather conditions are like over here. They're over here to win the World Club Challenge for the first time. But also as well, mate, let's not forget here, you know, what the Roosters did to Wigan the last time. And Sean Wayne, he was pretty embarrassed by that, because they went down there. They was pretty hopeful that they could turn the Aussies over on their own soil. He knows that he wants this. He loves this World Club Challenge, as Wayne, and he's going to be making sure that we call it Super League against the NRL, and he's going to make sure that he does his very, very best that Wigan win that next week.
I know he said that, you know, last year's grand final win was you know, probably one of his top achievements as a coach, through with all the injured players throughout the season. But having seen that documentary, I know a lot of people were upset about the amount of bad words coming from Sean Wayne's mouth during that the game and the build-up to it against Sydney a couple of years ago. But this is perhaps the most important game in Sean Wayne's coaching career, certainly in his mind anyway, perhaps.
Oh, yeah, Rich, without a doubt. And as I say, we know Sean, he doesn't just want to win every game. He wants to win every trophy that's available. And I tell you what, you can't knock that from the man, can you? Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
and
no.
He has that Wigan philosophy. We all know exactly how they play there, but everybody knows their own roles as an individual and as a team from there. But as I say, he doesn't just want to win every game. He wants to win every trophy that's there. And one thing for sure, Sean, he wants this World Cup challenge. And if Wigan, as we all know, last year, everybody was saying, well, the way that they're playing, they can't win, and injuries and this sort of thing. If Wigan in this game for the first, well, we could say not just the first 50 or 60 minutes, but if they're in it for the last 10 minutes, we know what Wigan do. They can find a way to win. It's as simple as that.
I know we're Radio Yorkshire, but we all want Wigan to win.
Oh, of course we do.
We want to beat the Aussies, whoever they
absolutely
are.
Absolutely. And I say, this is, you know, this is Super League against NRL, and everybody next Sunday from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock, you know, Wigan's going to be everybody's adopted club, because, yes, we want them to win the World Club Challenge, and we want to win it and get one over on the Aussies. If that makes, you know, it's not going to make our game any better, or that we say we're going to win the World Cup, does it? But at the end of the day, it's Super League v the NRL, and yes, I want Wigan to win, I want Sean Wayne to win, and I want the Wigan club to win.
And it is a bit daft that game has been played at the same time as five games.
Ridiculous. Richie, absolutely ridiculous. And whoever's come up with this, you know, with this sort of kick-off time, absolutely ridiculous. Because, as we say, like, next week, you know, I can't wait to watch the battle for Featherstone. But, you know, I want to watch the World Club Challenge. I want Wigan to batter Cronulla. I want to see that game, you know, but whoever's come up with this sort of time and kick-off, ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I was paying no attention before the season. I thought it was going to be a Saturday night or a Sunday night, as it was last year. And when I saw it was a Sunday afternoon, I was like, what?
What? Correct.
Because obviously I sit here. There's no way I'm going to be there and I have to watch it on the telly like a lot of other people.
But also as well, Rich, as well, you know, we're all right saying, well, you know, well, we can record it or we can put it on. It's not the same, because you'll find the result out, whatever. Somebody will tell you, as we all know with social media nowadays. No, it's not the same. Absolutely ridiculous that the people who want to watch the greatest game of all, we want to see Wigan win the World Cup Challenge, and we can't watch it. Ridiculous.
That famous episode of The Likely Lads would last about 2 minutes if they did it in 2017, because you'd find out the result straight away. We haven't talked about Warrington. They of course take on Brisbane. We're all looking forward to seeing Wayne Bennett's smiling face back in the country this week. Warrington defeat against the Catalan Dragons, and you know, Catalans, we, you know, said had a difficult year last year, and they'll be very, very happy indeed with that win over Warrington yesterday.
Oh, without a doubt. And I say, I thought Greg Bird was absolutely outstanding, Paul Leighton outstanding, and that was just realistically, again, it was a little bit damp over in Catalans, wet weather performance, but they just ground out the win there. And they fully deserved it. Richie, they fully deserved that. And I must say about Warrington, I just felt as though that is the worst performance I've seen from Warrington for around about 2 years, if I'm honest with you. And I thought the forward pack, I thought it was the softest performance I've seen from a Warrington pack for many, many years. They all just looked pretty boys, they all looked with ball handlers. Nobody wanted to go into contact, nobody wanted to do the hard stuff. But take nothing away from Catalans, they wanted it more than Warrington, and they got the 2 points. Simple as that.
So 1 week into the season, who's going to win Super League?
Well, I'm not changing, I'm going for Wigan. Simple as that. Simple as that.
See, I'm now going to have to... my pick of Warrington, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know, it's a bit dodgy. Well, it's only another 22 rounds before the split.
Only another 23, two rounds to go before the split. Well, but we'll be for sure, Richie, and, you know, the conditions haven't been ideal, as I say. We're into summer rugby, aren't we? You know, but it's interesting, we're into summer rugby, we start in the winter, we finish in the winter, but anyway, we didn't come up with these dates, but, and I say, I think with the conditions, what we've seen this weekend, I think we've seen some decent rugby league, to be honest with you.
Well, you go get scouting to lose for your son. Make sure you keep a close eye on him for the next couple of hours, and we'll let you go watch that from the warmth of the bar.
Richie, Wolfie, for sure, I'm going to say to him, Jonathan, that laptop, get it on eBay and get it sold. You can't win games on the laptop. It's all on the bar on the rugby league pitch.
We will see you tomorrow. What's in your column tomorrow? What's the column this week?
Oh, it's just about the opening games of the opening games of Super League and the build-up to the World Cup Challenge.
Excellent. We shall see you again tomorrow. You've been for the last tackle, of course. Arwell and our wife from 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Richie. Thanks very much.
Excellent stuff. Guys, go for you there live from the Beaumont Legal Stadium. For Wakefield's defeats on the opening day of the season to Hull FC, they won by 12 points to 8. If you missed it, before kickoff, Craig Murdoch told us about the time he nearly drowned.
Yeah, true story, I nearly drowned here playing for Wigan one day, very early on in the early 90s, 94, something like that. There was puddles all over, and I think it was Big Mike Kuwaiti, remember him, played in the back row?
Yeah.
Held my head under a puddle, I thought I was going to drown. And I got up and I said, sorry for running at you, I'll not do it again.
If you want updates, follow us on Twitter at RL on RY. If you want full uninterrupted match commentary, then get tuned into Radio Yorkshire on DAB, on app or online.